Today's shiur will be Mesichta Zvachim Daf Samach Dalet. We will start from the second line from the top of the Amud. The Gemara quotes what it said in the Mishnah, Shloisha Dvarim Kulu. It said in the Mishnah that the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach was used for six things. Three things were done over the Chuta Sikra and the top half of the Mizbeach, and three things were done on the lower half of the Mizbeach, because as we know, in the middle of the Mizbeach there was a Chuta Sikra which divided the two halves of the Mizbeach. So three things were done on the top half of the Mizbeach by the corner Droimis Marovis, which is the southwestern corner, and three things were done on the lower part of the Mizbeach by the same corner. And the Mishnah said the three things that were done on the lower part of the Mizbeach were the Chatasai, when they sprayed the blood from a Chatas, a bird, they would do it by that corner under the Chuta Sikra. The Hagoshai, when they had to bring a Mincha close to the Mizbeach before they would take off the Koyim as the handful. So that was brought to the corner Droimis Marovi. And also when they would have to pour the Shiyore Hadam, the leftover of the blood from a Chatos, meaning a Chatos Achatoinis, a Chatos that the blood had to be sprayed on the outside Mizbeach, not a Chatos that the blood had to be sprayed inside in the Heichol on the Mizbeach Hazov, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. But we're talking about those Chatois that did not go inside, so their leftover blood had to be poured on the Yisod, so that was poured by the Keren Droimis Marovi. But the Gemara wants to explain here, where do we know that these three things were done by that corner? But the Gemara says, Chatasoyf, how do we know that the Chatasoyf was done by the corner Droimis Marovi, Hoda Amora? That is as we explained in the Gemara before, as we learned in the earlier Daf, where the Gemara quotes a Posik concerning a Minchas Choyte. It says, Lo Yosim Aleo Shemen Velo Yitin Aleo Levoyne Ki Chatas Hi. So from that Chatas Hi, we see that the Torah compares a Mincha to a Chatas and a Chatas to a Mincha. So just like the din by the Mincha is that the Hagosha has to be to the Kerem Droimis Marovis, so too does the Chatas Hoif have to be done by the Kerem Droimis Marovis, because that Pasuk is speaking by a Chatas Hoif, because that Pasuk is speaking by a Minchas Hoif that becomes as a substitute to the Chatas Hoif. So since we compare it to a Chatas, we're comparing it to a Chatas Hoif, so we say that just like the Mincha has to be done by the Keren Droimis Marovi, so the Chatas Ha'oif also has to be done, which means the blood has to be sprayed by the Keren Droimis Marovi. Hagosha is, how do we know that the Hagosha of the Mincha has to be by the Keren Droimis Marovi? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Vi Gisho El HaMizbeach. Or as the Gemara quoted before, that we have two psukim which contradict each other. In one Pasuk it says, Al Pnei HaMizbeach, which means in the Dorim side. One Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem, which means in the might of sight. So the answer is that it has to be in the corner of Marovis Dragis. So from there we know that the Hagosha of the Mincha has to be by that corner too. Shiyore Adam, how do we know that the leftover of the blood has to be poured by the Kerem Marovis Dragis? So the answer is exceed, because the Pasuk says, Ve'eskol dam ha-por yishpoich ha-yisoid ha-mizbeach, that all the blood of the poor he should spill on the yisoid of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says earlier in Dafnut Gimel Amud Aleph that we learn now Yiridosei min hakevesh bechatois achitzoines mi yitziosei min haheichol, which means that those chatois that you had to spray the blood inside the heichol, and then it says that the leftover blood you had to pour on the yisoid, which yisoid did they pour it on? So they poured it on the yisoid which was by the mitre side, the western side, and the reason for that was because that was the closest to the place he came out. So we see that by the Chatas HaPnimis, he had to pour it on the closest place from where he is coming from, since he is coming from the Heichol with the extra blood, because the blood was sprayed in the Heichol. So he came out of the Heichol with that leftover blood. The closest place was Mairis. So we see that you have to pour the blood by the Yisod of the closest place to where you're coming from. So we understand from there the same thing by a Chatas HaChitzoinis, that when he's coming down from the ramp of the Mizbeach, so you should pour it on the Dorem side of the Yisoid, because that is the closest to where he is coming down. But when we say that you pour it on the Dorem side, it has to be by the Kerem Marovis Droimis. It can't just be by the Dorem side, by the southern side. It has to be by the corner of the southwest. Why? Because we know that there was no Yisoid on the Dorem side of the Mizbeach, except by the last corner close to the Mairev. One Amo, the last corner of the Dorem, by the mitre corner, that's where you had a Yisoid. The rest of the Dorem side had no Yisoid. So since we say that you have to pour it on the Dorem side, because that is the closest to where you're coming, as we learned out from the Chatas HaPnimis, So the only corner that you could do it is by the Keren Marov Yisroimi, because that's the only place where you had a Yisoid and Dorem Sait. So from here we know that when you pour the dam, the leftover dam, from the Chatzos HaChitzonis, it has to be done by the Keren Marov Yisroimi. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Mel Milo, the three things that the Kerem Arov Yisroimis was used for, on top of the Chutah Sikro, was Nisuch HaMayim V'Hayayim, they poured the water on Sukkot, on top of the Mizveach, because it had to go down those Shisim that were on that corner. Also, the Yayin, when they poured wine by the Korbonis, it had to be on that corner, that was on top of the Mizveach. And Oil HaTzoiv, Kishirov HaMizrach, when they would make the Oil HaTzoiv, the really, as we will see, they had to do it on the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach. But if there was no place on the Mizrach side because there were too many Koyanim involved working on other Karbonis, so then you could use the top of the Mizbeach, the Kerem, Arov Yisroimis, for the Oila Soif. The Gemara says, my timer, what is the reason? Why was the Oila Soif used on the corner of Arov Yisroimis when the Mizrach side was full? Rabbi Yochanan, the number of Yochanan says, Bipnei Shekroiva mi Beis Hadoshen. This was the closest to the Beis HaDoshen. Beis HaDoshen is the place of the ashes. That's the place where every morning they would perform the mitzvah of Trumas HaDoshen. Because the Pasuk says that every day a Kohen should take some of the ashes of the Mizbeach and the Somoy Eitzel HaMizbeach, and he should put it next to the Mizbeach. This does not mean the time when they cleaned the Mizbeach of all the ashes. This is a special mitzvah of Trumas HaDoshen. He would only take off one shovel of ashes, as we will learn soon, and he would put it down next to the Mizbeach every morning. And it was put down on the Mizrach side, on the eastern side of the Kevesh of the ram. And in Oila Sa'oiv, the Pasuk says that you have to take out Meirov and Noit, so you have to take out the crop and the feathers, and you have to put it, the Pasuk says, V'hishlich oiso Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedmo El Mekoyim HaDeshen. You should throw it next to the Mizbeach, on the Mizrach side, on the place of the Deshen. So you had to make the Korban Oila Sa'oiv the closest place to the Mokim HaDeshen. So the real closest place was on the Keren Droimit Mizrachi. But if that site was full, the next closest place was the Droimit Marovi. And that's the reason why the Mishnah says that when the Mizbeach was full on the Mizrach side, on the Droimit Mizrachi, then the Marovi's Droimit was used for Oila Sa'oiv because it was closest, at least second closest, to the Mokim HaDeshen, the place of Ash. And the Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Boy Urei, come and see, Kama Goydel Koycha Shel Koyanim. How great is the strength of the Koyanim? How strong the Koyanim were? She'ein loch kal ba'oifet yoysa mimayro v'noiso. You have nothing lighter in the bird than its crop and its feathers. And nevertheless, Pomim she'akoyin zoykon yoysa mishloishim amo. And sometimes the Kohen would have to throw it more than 30 amos. When something is light and you have to throw it very far, you need a lot of strength. And we see that the Kohen sometimes had to throw this more than 30 amos. And this was when the Mizrach side was full of Kohenim, so they had to make the Korban on the Kerem Arov Yisroimis. So from the Kerem Arov Yisroimis, from the west, southern corner to throw to the Mokim HaDeshen was more than 30 amos, as we will see soon. And we see from there how strong the Koyanim were that they were able to throw it that far. That now, because we learn in the Mishnah, no tal machta shel kesef, this is a Mishnah, Mesichta Tomi. And there it says that they would make a girdle, they would throw lots, who gets which avoided. Then it continues that the one that was zeiche to do the avoid of Trumas HaDeshen, what would he do? He would take a machta shel kesef, a shovel of silver, for all the Leroysha Mizbeach, and he would go to the top of the Mizbeach, Opina Sagicholim Melech Velech, he would push away the coals there and here, the Chitam in Amacholis Hapnimis, and he would dig out from the inner coals that were in the Mizbeach, and he would put that on the shovel, obviously. The Yoyred, and he would go down, he would go down and reach the floor, he would go down the ramp and reach the floor, Mavzir Ponov Klapet Tzofoin, he would turn his face to Tzofoin, which means he would turn his face to the north, which means facing the Mizbeach. V'hoylech, and he would go towards the Mizbeach, l'mizrochei shel kevesh, on the eastern side of the ramp. Ke'eser amos, and he would get close to the Mizbeach, about 10 amos, which means, since the ramp was 22 amos, so when he got off the ramp, he was 22 amos away from the Mizbeach. Now he would turn towards the Mizbeach again, on the side of the ramp, and he would get 10 amos closer to the Mizbeach. That means that now he was 22 amos away from the Mizbeach. So, Barach Lagicholim, he would pile up this coal, Al Gabaritzva, on the floor, Rochek Minakevish, away from the ramp, Shloisha Tvochim, 3 Tvochim. And this was Mokan, the place, Shenoisni Meiro Venoitza, that he would put the crop and the feathers of the birds, the Dishin Mizbeach Apnimi, and the ashes of the inner Mizbeach, of the Mizbeach that stood in the Heichol, and the Hamnoira, and also the ashes of the Menoira. So all this was put there, meaning 3 Tvochim away from the Kevish, and 22 Amos away from the Mizbeach, on the Mizrach side of the ram, which was on the Dorim side of the Mizbeach. So from here we see the exact place of the Mokim Adeshen. So we understand, when the Kohen would stand by the Marovitz Droimis corner of the Mizbeach, and would have to throw the Moiro of Anoitza to the Mokim Hadeshen, he had to throw an area of 30 Amos. And the Cheshbon is very simple. Since we know that the Mizbeach was 32 by 32, and the Kevish was 32 long also, and the width of the Kevish was only 16, which means that the Mizbeach was wider than the Kevish with 12 Amos. And since the Kevish stood in the middle of the Mizbeach, so on each side of the Kevish, the Mizbeach stuck out 6 amos. So when the Kohen was standing by the corner of the Mizbeach, between the place he was standing till the other side of the Kevish, was 6 amos from the end of the Mizbeach till the Kevish started, and 16 amos of the Kevish, that means 22. So when the Kohen stood by the corner, from where he stood till the other side of the Kevish, was 22 amos. The 6 amos till the Kevish started, plus the 16 amos of the Kevish itself, so together it is 22. Now, the other direction, from the Tzofen to the Dorim, so since we said that the Kevish was 32 amos long, and he said that he got closer to the Mizbeach 10 amos, that means that he was away from the Mizbeach also 22. So it comes out that when the Kohen stood by the corner of Marovitz Droimis, so he was 22 amos away from the end of the Kevish, this direction, and also he was 22 amos away from the other direction, which means going between Ma'irev to Mizrach, he was 22 amos away, and also from Tzofen to Dorim, 22 amos away, which means it was a square of 22 by 22. The Kohen had to throw it in diagonal. He threw it from where he was standing, in Alachsen, in a slanty way, diagonal to the place of the Trumas Hadeshen. Now, how far is that place? So the klal is that when you want to make a diagonal line from corner to corner in a square, so for every amo square, the line, the diagonal line, would be an amo and 2/5 of an amo. So it comes out that when you have a square of 22 by 22, so the diagonal line from corner to corner would be with 8 amos and 4/5 more. So it comes out that it would be 30 amo and 4 tvachim, because we know there are 6 tvachim to an amo, and since to every amo we have to add 2/5, so it will come out that to 22 amo we will have 8 more amos and 4/5 of an amo, which comes out altogether 30 amos and 4 tvachim. So therefore, the Cheshbon is that the Gemara says here that he would have to throw it from the corner of Marovitz Droimis to the Mokim Hadeshen would be over 30 amos. But the Gemara asked the Kasha, Hanit famous Taltim v'chad haven, why do you say it's about 30 amos when really it was more than 31 amos? Why? Because as we said before, the Beis Hadeshen was pulled away from the Kevish 3 tvachim. So now that we have an extra 3 tvachim, so it comes out that altogether the slant will be 31 amos and 1 tefach. And that's the Gemara's question. Why do we say it's about 30 amos that he had to throw when he really had to throw 31 plus amos? And the Gemara answers, Mokim Gavri Lechoshev, the place of the person he doesn't count. The place where the person stood himself also took up space. So that he doesn't count. And therefore he says it's only about 30 amos that he had to throw. And this shows the strength of the Koyanim, that this something that was very light, it was feathers and crop of the bird, nevertheless he was able to throw it 30 amos. And to throw something very light, you have to have a lot of koyach. So this shows how strong the koyanim were. Then the Gemara continues, said in the Mishnah, kol ha'oilim the mizbeach, anybody who went up to the Mizbeach would go up to the right side, which means he would turn right and go around the Mizbeach and come down to the left side, except if he would go up for these three things, the three things mentioned before, which was for the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin, and also for the Oil of Sa'oit, if in the Mizrach it was full. That by these three things, he would go up to the left side, which means after he went up the ramp, he would turn left, and then come back the same direction that he went up. And the Gemara asks, my time, what is the reason? Why were these three exceptions that he did not turn right? Don't we know that the din is that whenever you go up, you have to turn right? And the Gemara answers, by the pouring of shachar water, shema yisashna. We're afraid that if he's going to go to the right, and he's going to have to pour it by the Maravis Draimis, which is the last corner, so it means that he'll have to carry it in his hand the whole time while he's circling the Mizbeach, so it might get smoked up. And the din is that Mu'ushon is possible. If it's smoked up, it's possible for the Nesachim. And that's why he would turn left, go directly, the shortest route, to the corner where he had to pour it, and he would pour it right there, and then he would turn back and go down the same direction he started. And Oil HaSa'oiv, and the reason why the Oil HaSa'oiv, he didn't turn right and go around the Mizbeach, but he turned to the left, because Shema Tomas Boshe, because he didn't carry the bird all around the Mizbeach till he would come to the fourth corner, it might die through the smoke of the burning wood, etc. So therefore, for to avoid that, he would turn directly to the left and go directly to the corner of Marav Yisroim. But the Gemara asks Akasha, what do you mean? I will ask you Akasha. We learn that Voloi Lahakiv is HaMizbeach, this refers to the Koyan Gadol. The Mishnah Mesich Lesami, where it says that the Koyan Gadol was not like the other Koyanim that had to be part of a Gadol in order to know which Avodah they get. But the Koyan Gadol could do any Avodah he wants. As it says in Mesich Yume, the Koyan Gadol Makriv Chelik Berosh. He is makriv the first part, which means if he says, I want to be makriv this korban oil, he is able to be makriv it. Whatever he wants to do, he is able to do. So if the Kohen Gadol wanted to be makriv a korban, and they had thrown lots, and there was one person who was zoiche, his share would have been halachas ha'evarim, that he would carry the evarim, the parts, the limbs of the korban to the mizbeach. So what would be, he would hand over these evarim to the Kohen Gadol who was standing on top of the mizbeach, and the Kohen Gadol would throw these Evarim onto the Marochah. The Kohen Gadol, from where he was standing, would throw the Evarim onto the fire of the Mizbeach. And the next thing that he had to do was the Nesachim. So what would happen now? The Nesachim were done on the Kerem Marav Yisroimis, and he was standing by the beginning of the Mizbeach on top by the end of the Kevesh. So, Voloi Lahakiv Isam Mizbeach. Now he would have to circle the whole Mizbeach. He would turn right and circle the whole Mizbeach, going around, till he would come to the Kerem Marav Yisroimis. And there he would pour the Nesachim down. And the reason he had to come to that corner, as we said before, that's where the shisim were. That's where the pipes were that went down to the bottom of the Mizbeach. So he had to pour it there. So he would turn right on top of the Mizbeach, go all around the Mizbeach, till he would come to the Kerem Arav Yisroim. Me'ayin u'maskil, where would he start his circle? Mekerem Droimis Mizrochis. First he would turn to Droimis Mizrochis, and then he would go Mizrochis, Tzvoinis, Tzvoinis, Marovis. Then he would come to Marovis Droimis. Or another girsa would be, and they gave him the wine to pour. And the Gemara at this point thinks that when it says they gave him the wine, it doesn't mean they gave him the wine when he came to the corner of Marav Yisroimis. It means they gave him the wine, and he would circle around the Mizbeach with the wine in his hand. And when he came to the corner of Marav Yisroimis, he would pour the wine on the shittim. If we learn it that way, so it seems to be saying that he would hold the wine in his hand the whole time while he was circling around. And obviously we were not afraid that the wine would be smoked up. So how could we say before the reason that when you go up for the Nesachim, you must turn directly to the left and go directly to the Kerem Arav Yisroimis and don't go around, because we're afraid the wine might get smoked up. When here we see the Kohen Gadol would go around with the wine in his hand, and we were not afraid of that. Rabbi Yochanan said, Hakofa Beregel, the pshat is that he would circle around with his feet, not carrying anything. And at the end, when he came to the corner of Marav Yisroimis, where he had to pour the wine, that's when they would hand him the wine. Which means that the reason he went around was only to show that he has the koyach, he has the right to do all the avoides. Because when the koyan would go up for other types of avoides, he would have to circle around going right. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol, to show that he could do any Avodah he wants, so he also used to turn right. But really, he did not hold the wine in his hands when he turned and he went around the Mizbeach. When he got to the corner, Marovis Dreimis, that's when they handed him the wine and he would pour it down. And he didn't hold it the whole time because the taka would get smoked up. As we said before, we're afraid of that. So when a kohen just goes up for the nesochim, since he's only doing this avoida because that's the only thing he was zoich in the geirul, so then he goes directly to the left with the wine in his hands and pours it down. There is no reason for him to go around the whole mizbeach and wait for someone to hand him the wine when he comes to the Marovis Dreimis. What is the purpose? So therefore, since he was only doing this avoda, he would turn to the left and go straight to the Marovis Dreimis, pour the wine, and turn back the same direction he came from. But the Kohen Gadol, since he wanted him to show that he is able to do all the avodas, so they wanted him to circle around the Mizbeach, what other Kohenim would do. And since he was not able to carry it with him the whole time because we were afraid it would get smoked up, so when he got to the Kerem Marovis Dreimis, that's when they would hand it to him. Omar Rav and Rav said, Deikoname, the expression of the Mishnah also shows that they gave it to him later. Diktone, because it says, after he circled the Mizbeach, there it says, Nosne lo yayin lenafech, that they gave him the wine to pour. Veloiktone, it doesn't say, Oimer lo nesoy, that they told him, now pour. If he would have been holding it the whole time, and just when he came to the Kerem HaRavis Dreimis, they would say to him, now you pour, and it should have said, now they tell him to pour. Since it says then, they gave it to him, obviously they only gave it to him then, and the reason was because we were afraid it would get smoked up. But by the Kohen Gadol, for the other reason as we said before, he would start turning right and go around the Mizbeach, and by the Kerem HaRavis Dreimis he would be given the wine. By a regular Kohen, there was no reason for him to circle, so therefore he would directly turn to the left when he got off the Kevesh onto the Mizbeach, go straight to the Kerem HaRavis Dreimis, and pour the wine down the sheet. Then the Gemara says, Tone Rabbanon, the Rabbanon learned, Kol ha'oilin le'mizbeach, oilin derech yamin, all those that go up to the mizbeach go up from the right side, ve'yoydin derech smoil, and they come down from the left side, oilin derech mizrach, they go up from mizrach side, ve'yoydin derech ma'irev, and they come down from ma'irev. That means, as we said before, that the width of the kevesh was 16 amos. And since he had to turn right after he got off the kevesh, so when he walked all along the Kevesh, he walked on the Mizrach side of the Kevesh. Because if he would walk on the other edge of the Kevesh, all along the Ma'ariv side of the Kevesh, and when he got to the top of the Kevesh and he had to turn right, he would have to then walk all the way to the other side of the Kevesh and then go to the right of the Mizbeach. So instead of doing that, which he would have to add extra space going through the width of the Kevesh, so the Chatchile, when he went up, he would go on the eastern side of the Kevesh. He would go on the Kevesh from Dorim towards Tzofim, but it was on the Mizrach side, on the eastern edge of the Kevesh, and he would walk up. That was the closest to the place where he had to turn. But when he came down, since he came down from the other direction, he would turn from the left, he would come down. So then, instead of coming to the Kevesh and then walking along the width of the Kevesh till he would come to the Mizrach edge, he would walk directly down on the Ma'ariv, the western edge of the Kevesh all along, because that was the closest to the place where he came from the Mizbeach. That was concerning everything else. Chutz min oilo l'shloisha dvorim alolo, except for anybody who went up for these three things that we mentioned before. She'oilin derech Ma'ariv, because there they would go up along the Ma'ariv side of the Kevesh. Since, as we said, they're going to have to turn left, so the Ma'ariv side, the western side of the Kevesh, was the closest to the left. So they would walk along the western side of the Kevesh. Ve'yoyedin derech Ma'ariv. And they would also come down from the western side. Since, as we said, they would go up and turn left and come down the same direction on the left side, so automatically they would come down and walk along also the Ma'ariv side of the Kevesh. Oilin derech Yamin. But when we speak about which way they would turn, he says, when they went up, they would turn to right, the Yoredin Derech Yamin, and they would come down from the right side. So the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Derech Yamin, you're telling me that when they went up, they would turn to right? Derech Smoilu, it's to the left. That's the whole idea we're saying the whole time, that by these three things, when they went up, they would turn left. And that is the reason why they would walk along the Ma'ariv side of the Kevesh, because they had to turn left. And here he's saying that they would go up and turn right and come down from the right side. Omer Ravina said, Tani Smail, we have to learn, which means we have to change the Lashon there and say it's Smail. In other words, it's a mistake there, and it has to say not that they would go up Derech Yamin, but it would go up Derech Smail. They would go up Derech Smail and come down Derech Smail. Rav Omar, Rav says, the Pshat is different. Ma Yamin, what does the Braisa mean? that they would go up derech yamin, derech of the right side, yamin the mizbeach, on the right side of the mizbeach. Since the kevesh is considered the front of the mizbeach, so the mizbeach is facing the opposite direction of a person. When the person is walking up, it's as if he is facing the face of the mizbeach. The mizbeach is facing him. So the person's left side is really the right side of the mizbeach. And that's what the Braita means here. That by these three things, he would turn to the right, meaning to the right of the mizbeach, which is really to the left of the person. Oh, my smile. And what does the left side mean? When it said before, that other times, not by these three, they used to go up and turn to the right and come down from the left side. What do we mean left side? Smile the gavre, the left side of the person. So in the previous case, in the first case, when we're talking about everything else, where we say they went up from the right and came down from the left, that is all referring to the right of the person and the left of the person. But when it says in the second part that by these three things they would turn to the right and come down from the right, that means the right of the mizbeach. But then the Gemara asks, Benisne, let it learn, oy idi the idi the mizbeach, or both of them of the mizbeach, oy idi the idi the gavre, or both of them of the person. Why in the first case when he mentions the size, he's talking about the size of the person? In the second part, when he's speaking about the size, he means the size of the mizbeach. Why is it like that? Why doesn't he use the same term in both? Or in both cases, you use the size of the mizbeach. Or in both cases, you use the size of the person. And the Gemara says, Kasha, this is a Kasha that remains unanswered. Considering what we learned before, that the reason they had to spray the blood of the oy lasa'oy by the Maravis Droimis in a time when by the Mizrach side it was full, was because this was the closest to the Beis Hadeshem. Really, the closest was the Mizrachis Droimis. But if the Mizrachis Droimis was taken, so then it would be the Maravis Droimis, the next best. And the reason for that was because this was the closest to the Mokim Hadeshem. Since he had to throw the Merov of Anoitza onto the place of the Deshem, so the closest place was the Keren Maravis Droimis, next to the Keren Mizrachis Droimis. The Tosfos asked the Kasha, but why did he have to go to the corner? By going to the corner, the Maravis Droimis, he's going further away from the area of the Beis Hadoshen. Why didn't he just walk up to the top of the Mizbeach and stop right there and spritz the blood there, and from there he would throw the Meirah of Anoitza onto the Beis Hadoshen, which would be closer? Why did he have to go to the corner of Maravis Droimis? Ah, you might answer, because when you spritz the blood, it has to be done on a corner, so therefore he had to walk to the Keren Maravis Droimis. But that is not true, as Tosfos proves from earlier in the Gemara, the Samach or Aleph, that Mitzad Hadin, you don't have to pour it by a corner. So Tosfos asks, why didn't he just stop when he walked up the Kevesh and poured the blood there, and from there he would throw the Merav Anoitzi to the Mokin Hadeshen? This would be even closer. And Tosfos does not answer this question. Concerning what we learned further, that the Kohen would have to throw sometimes the Merav Anoitzi over 30 amas from the place of the Keren Maravis Droimis to the Mokim Hadeshen. The Rash explains that this was done only if you had to do the Oy Lasa'oy by the Keren Maravis Droimis. Because if it was done in its regular place, when it wasn't too full, and this was the Mizrachis Droimis, but they didn't even have to go to the top of the Mizbeach. Because when he walked up the Kevesh, as we learned before, on the Mizrach side of the Kevesh, there was a little small kevesh that turned and went to the soivis. So the Kohen would not have to go on top of the kevesh all the way to the top of the mizbeach. Since he wanted to turn to the corner of Mizrachis Droimis, to the Mizrach side, so then he would just walk up a little bit of kevesh, and then he would walk up the small ramp that turned on the right side of the kevesh and went up to the soivis, which was much lower than the top of the Mizbeach. So the Kohen would walk there, and from there he would throw the Meirah of Anoitza to the Mokim Hadeshen. But when he had to go to the Maravis Droimis, there was no little Kevesh that went out on the left side of the big Kevesh. That only went to the Soiviv. So in order to get to the... So on the left side of the Kevesh, on the Meirah side of the Kevesh, there was no little Kevesh that went up to the Soiviv. So if he wanted to go to the corner on the other side, on the Meirah side, so then he would only be able to do it by going up to the top of the Mizbeach. So therefore, he would have to go there, and from there he would have to throw the Meirah of Anoitza to the Mokim Hadeshen, which was very far. But Tosfos argues and brings Rayas that on the Meirah side, on the left side of the big Kevesh, there was also a Kevesh that led up to the Seivis, and therefore, when he wanted to do the Oilas Oif and the Kerem Aravis Droimis, he didn't have to go to the top of the Mizbeah, but also he would use that small ramp and go to the Seivis and come to the Kerem Aravis Droimis, and there he would do the Dam, and from there he would throw the Merov and Noitza to the Mokim Adeshim. The Seivis asks that if so, that there was a Kevish coming out on the left side, on the Mitev side of the big Kevish, to the Seivis, why isn't it mentioned earlier on the Aftamach Beis Amud Beis? There, the Gemara says that there were two kvashim ktanim, two small ramps coming out of the big ramp, one to the right, on the Mizrach side, that turned to the Soiviv, one on the left side, on the Mitev side, that went to the Yisoid. Why doesn't it also mention that there was another Kevish on the left side, on the Mitev side, that also went to the Soiviv? And Soiviv doesn't answer that question either. And now we will continue with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chata Soiv, Ketad Hoyo Nasis. A chatos oif, how was it done? If you brought a bird as a chatos, what was the procedure? He says, hayemoylik et roisha mimulorpo. If it pinch off its head, close to its neck. Because we know that by a bird in the Beis Hamikdash, there was no shchite. Instead of shchite, instead of slaughtering it the regular way as we know it, they would do melike. Which means that the kohen would, with his nail, pinch off the head from the back, by the neck of the bird. But in the case of a chatos ha'oif, he would do it in such a way that ve'ene mavdil, he wouldn't separate it. He wouldn't separate the head from the body, which means that he would only cut one simon. We know a bird has two simonim, konan neveshet, but when he would do the melik, he would have to make sure that he would only be melik one simon, because the pasuk says clearly concerning the ha'oif. Umolak et roisha mimul orpe velo yavdil, he says he should do the melike close to the neck and not separate. And the Gemara in Chul, the Chafalov on the base, learns out from here that that means that he would only do melike in one simon. And then, umaze midoma tira mizbeach, he would sprinkle from its blood on the wall of the mizbeach. And the sprinkling would be done with the bird itself. He would hold the bird itself and sprinkle it. Not like by other korbanos, where you would let some blood come out of the behemoth and sprinkle the blood later, sometimes with a finger, and by others it would be with a kaleh, but by the bird, it was sprinkled by the bird itself. You would hold onto the bird itself and sprinkle on the wall of the mizbeach. Shiyore Adam, the leftover blood, would be squeezed and drained out onto the yisayid. You would take the bird itself and squeeze it on the wall of the mizbeach. So the leftover blood, the extra blood, would come running down the wall of the Mizbeach onto the Yisayid. The reason it would go directly onto the Yisayid, because this was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, under the Chut HaSikra. So under the Chut HaSikra, it would run straight down the wall onto the Yisayid. If it would have been done over the Chut HaSikra, so then, when you squeeze it in that area, when it would run down the wall, it would first hit the Seiviv, because the Seiviv also stuck out of the Mizbeach. So it would hit the Seiviv, and some of it would stay there, and some of it would roll down on the flat place of the Seiviv, down the wall, and then it would come to the Yisayid. But in this case, since it was done lower in the Chut HaSikra, so the only place that stuck out under the wall was the place of the Yisayid. And that's what he says there, that the blood would come running down on the Yisayid. Ein lemizbeach elo domo, the Mizbeach would only have its blood. By other carbonas, there were certain fats that would burn on the Mizbeach. But by the chatos ha'oif, the mizbeach would only get its blood. The kula l'koyanim, and everything else went to the koyanim. Which means anything that could be eaten there was eaten by the koyanim. And the Gemara says, Tonder Rabbanan, the Baruch Rabbanan learned, the hiza midam ha'chatos, it says you should sprinkle from the blood of the chatos, and we're talking here about the chatos ha'oif, so we darshan from this posik, it means, miguf ha'chatos, from the chatos itself, from the body of the chatos. That you shouldn't sprinkle the blood not with the kele, not with your finger, but you hold on to the bird itself, and that's how you would sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Okay, so how would you do it? Oiches b'roish b'guf, he would hold on to the head and the body of the bird, umaze al kira mizbeach, and he would sprinkle on the wall of the mizbeach. And it explains it has to be on the wall of the mizbeach, v'lo yal kira kevesh. You can't pour it on the wall of the rep, but lo yal kir heichol. You can't pour it on the wall of the heichol. And you can pour it on the wall of the ulam, but you must pour it on the wall of the mizbeach. And which part of the wall of the mizbeach? The kiratachn. That's the bottom part, which means under the chut hasikra, the bottom half of the mizbeach. But it continues, Oy Einem, maybe it's not like that. Elokir HaElyon, maybe it has to be on the top part of the Mizbeach, on the wall of the top part of the Mizbeach. The Din Hu, really there is a Kal V'Chomer, a Svara, to say that really by the Chatas HaOyf, you should sprinkle the blood on the top part of the Mizbeach. Because you say, Ma Behemo She'elo Salamata, Ma Decha Behemo. That when you make an oil of a Behemo, so then you have to sprinkle the blood on the bottom part of the Chut HaSikra. As we learned in the first Perek of this Mesichta and Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Chatas of a Behemo, it says, HaMechata Oysa, that the one that's making it into a Korban has to sprinkle the blood, and there you make the blood on the top of the Chut HaSikra. So from the word Oysa, we darshan that only the Chatas of the Behemo goes on top, but the oil of a Behemo goes on the bottom. So from there we know that the oil of a Behemo goes on the bottom. So we're saying that if by a Behemo, the oil goes on the bottom. Nevertheless, chatos olamaylo, but the chatos of a Behemo supposed to go on top of the Chut HaSikra, or if by a bird, shaylo olamaylo, that even the oil goes on top of the Chut HaSikra. Ein oidin, so certainly, shechatos olamaylo, that the chatos should go on the top of the Chut HaSikra. If by a Behemo, where the oil is on the bottom, nevertheless, the chatos is on top, by an oif, where the oil is on top, certainly the chata should be on top. Talmud Loimer, but we have a pasuk where it says, "V'hanisha badom yimotza yisoid hamizbeach." That what's left over of the blood should be drained, squeezed, and drained down to the yisoid of the mizbeach. So we darshan that the sprinkling of the blood has to be done the same place where the leftovers of the blood will be squeezed. And we say that if kira has to be a wall, shashirayim shaloyim ismatzim liyisoid. That the leftovers of it will be drained down to the yisoid. Since the pasuk goes together, it says, sprinkle the blood, and the leftovers of the blood should be squeezed on the wall of the mizbeach coming down to the yisoid. So it's saying that you have to sprinkle the blood in the same place where its leftovers will be able to be drained down to the yisoid. The ezeh, which part of the mizbeach, if you will squeeze it on that part, the blood will definitely come down to the yisoid, zeh kiratach. That is the bottom part of the wall. Because if you're going to squeeze the blood on the top part of the wall, which means over the Chut HaSikra, then not all the leftover blood will come down to the Yisoid. As we said before, since in that place, lower than the Chut HaSikra, the Tzoid have stuck out, when you will squeeze the blood on the wall above the Chut HaSikra, the dam will come down the wall, and it will hit the Tzoid. So definitely some of it will come down, flat part of the Tzoid, and then come down the wall and hit the Yisoid, but some won't. So since it says that all the leftover of the blood should come down to the yisoid, obviously you have to squeeze the leftover blood under the Chut HaSikra. And since the pasuk says you have to sprinkle the blood, and then it says you have to squeeze the blood that's left over to the yisoid, so obviously the sprinkling also has to be done under the Chut HaSikra. But the Gemara says, what makes you say that? The Navid me'eloi, let's first sprinkle the blood on top of the Chut HaSikra, v'hoda Navid mitatoi, and then when we will squeeze the blood, the leftover blood from the bird, that we will do under the Chut HaSikra. And the reason we're looking for all kinds of ways that we should be able to sprinkle the blood on top of the Chut HaSikra is because what we said before, there's a Kal V'Chomer that tells us that we should sprinkle the blood of the Chatas right on top of the Chut HaSikra. But the Gemara says, Omar Rava said, Miksiv Yamsa, does the Pasuk say he should have it drained down? Yimotseksiv, it should be drained down, it says. The Mimela Mashma is Mashma by itself. If it would say, Yamsa, that means the Pasuk is saying that the Koyen should drain the blood down, it's telling him, you squeeze it and drain it down, then we could say there are two separate things. First, it says he should sprinkle the blood. That means he sprinkles it on top of the Chut HaSikra, as the Kal V'Chomer said before. And then it says, you shall drain, squeeze the blood and drain it down, which means there's another act you have to do. That would mean, take the bird away from where it was before, because before you were holding it over the Chut HaSikra in order to sprinkle it, because you had to sprinkle it while you were holding the bird itself. So that you had on top of the Chut HaSikra. And then do another act, and now drain it on the wall so it should go to the Yisod, which is under the Chut HaSikra. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Yimotzei. It should be drained down. As if saying, right after you sprinkle it, now you don't have to do an extra act, but automatically now, by squeezing it, it'll drain down to the yisoid. That means that you are holding it already from the sprinkling in a place where now, when you will squeeze it, it'll go down straight to the yisoid. But that tells us that you have to sprinkle it under the Chut HaSikra. Because if you would sprinkle it over to the Chut HaSikra, so now in order to have it drained down to the yisoid, you would have to take it from there and bring it to the bottom of the Chut HaSikra. And since it says Yimotze, it should be drained down, so obviously the bird is already there from before you squeeze it, which means from the sprinkling. So from here we know that the sprinkling has to be done under the Chut HaSikra. The Gemara continues, Omer Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said the name of Rav, Ketzad Molkim Chatas Roiv, how do you perform the Malika on a Chatas Roiv? And he says, Oiche Shnei Gapel B'Shteyes Bois, you hold on to both of its wings, the two of your fingers, U'Shtey Raglayim B'Shteyes Bois, and the 2 feet with 2 fingers, which means you take the 2 wings between the last 2 fingers, between the pinky and the finger before that, and the 2 feet between the other 2 fingers. And you stretch out the neck and the width of your thumb, which means that the bird is in the palm of your hand, and between the last 2 fingers you're holding its wings, between the other 2 fingers you're holding its feet, and then with the thumb you're pushing down its neck, so now you're able to do malika from the back of its neck. And that's how you do malika. In the price that we learned, Sipra Milabat, the bird is on the outside, which means that you do the same thing, but you take the neck, and that goes on the other side. You hold onto its wings with 2 fingers. And the 2 feet with 2 fingers. And you stretch out its neck on the width of the 2 fingers, which means that the neck is turned to the front of the hand on the width of the 2 fingers. And that's how you do malika. And this is the hardest avoidah in the Beis HaMikdash. To be able to perform the Malika, seems to be saying, is the hardest avoidah in the Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, Zuhi v'suloi, is this the only hard avoidah? And nothing else. Don't we know that to take off a koimitz from a mincha, a handful of a mincha, that was also considered a hard avoidah. And to do the chfine, to take the handful on Yom Kippur, when they had to take the Ktoiras, when he went in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was also an avoid the Kosher Shebe Mikdash. Concerning the Kmitzit, it was because you had to rub it off with the thumb, and also with the pinky. You would put your hand into the flour, take out a whole handful, and then you would have to rub off with your thumb on this side, and with your pinky on the other side, and this was hard to do. And also, when you had to make the Chfinah, the handful, the way it was done, Yom Kippur was also hard. So how can we say here that this was the hard avodah of the Mikdash, when we find that the Kmitza and the Chpina were also hard avodahs? Elohimah, therefore, you say, Zu avodah kosher, may avodahs kosher shebe Mikdash. That this was a hard avodah, Maliki was a hard avodah from among the hard avodahs of the Mikdash, which means it was one of the hard avodahs of the Mikdash. Didn't mean to say this was the hardest, but it meant to say that this was a hard avodah together with some other avodahs which were also hard. And now we'll continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Oilas Ha'oiv Ketzet Nasis. How was an Oilas Ha'oiv done? What was the procedure when someone wanted to bring an Oilas Ha'oiv? So the Mishnah says, Ola Lakevesh, the Kohen, would go up the ramp, Ufanela Soiviv, and he would turn to the Soiviv. He would not go up the ramp all the way to the top of the Mizbeach. He would go up the ramp and turn to the right, going to the Soiviv, going to that piece that stuck out from the Mizbeach, which was called Soiviv. And Boloi Lekeren Dreimis Mizrachit. And he would walk and come till the corner of Dreimis Mizrachit. Since when he turned right, he turned on the Dorem side of the Mizbeach. And he was going right toward the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach. When he came to the corner, he was by Dreimis Mizrachit, the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. And over there, Hoyemoylik Esroi Shemimul Orpo, over there he would do the Malike on its head, by its neck, Umavdil, and he would separate. Which means he would cut through 2 simonim of the neck, and also he would separate the head from the body. In other words, with the malike, he would completely cut the head off from the body. It is not like we learned in the previous Mishnah, when it says that the chatas ha'if, he would do the malike ve'enim avdil. There he says, the fetish, he would not separate the head from the body. He would just cut through 1 simon of the 2, the kon and the veshet, but make sure not to cut the head off. But by the oilas ha'if, just opposite. He would do the malika, and he would cut through both simonim, and he would separate the head from the body. Then umitos dom alakira mizbeach. Then he would drain out the blood of the body on the wall of the mizbeach. No telasaroi. Then he would take the head, the hikiv beis malikos to the mizbeach, and he would squeeze the place of the malika, the place of the head where he cut it off, where he made the malika. He would squeeze it to the mizbeach. And that would make the rest of the blood drain down. And then he would wipe it on the salt that was there, because we know that there were three places in the Beis HaMikdash where you had salt. As the Gemara says in Menachas Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, one place was the Lishkas HaMelech, the place where they stored the salt. Then it was on top of the Kevish, on top of the ram, and also Bereish HaMizbeach on top of the Mizbeach. So here, he would wipe the head with salt, and he would throw it onto the fire. Then, he would come to the body, since we said that the head was separated from the body, so this is what he would do with the head. Then he would come to the body, he would take out the crop, the tanoitz and the feathers, and the inside, it would come with it, and he would take all that out, and he would throw it to the area where they would put the ashes down. The area that was called the Beis HaDeshen, that we learned earlier, that was 22 amas away from the Mizbeach, and 3 tvachim away from the Kevish, so he would throw it there. Then, Shisa, he would separate, he would crack open, he would take the body itself and break it open between the wings. But he would not separate it completely. He would just break it open, but he wouldn't separate that body into two parts. But if he did separate it, kosher, it's still kosher. Then, he would wipe the body, also in salt. He would throw it also on top of the fire. Because we're talking here about an oila toit, and we know an oila is completely burned on the mizbeach. So he would throw the whole head on the mizbeach, and also he would throw the whole body of the korban on the mizbeach. After he took out these three things, loy heisir hamayro, if he would, did not take out the crop, but loy hanoitz, and not the feathers, there's bnei amayim, and he didn't take out the bnei amayim, the kishkas, the inside, hayoitz and mimo that come along with it, or loy sof gevim elach, or he did not wipe the body of the bird in salt. So the din is that kol sheshina bo, any change he made from the way it was supposed to be, after he drained his blood, sheiret kosher. And therefore, since these things were done after he drained the blood, so therefore, it is kosher. Then the Mishnah continues, hivdil b'chatos v'lo hivdil b'oilo, if by a chatos hoy, he did separate the head from the body, which we said before he shouldn't have, or he did not do it by a noila, which he was supposed to, as we said before, by a noila, he was supposed to separate. And he didn't. Possibly, in both of these cases, it's possible. Mitzos dam haroish v'le mitzah dam haguf, if he squeezed out, drained out the blood of the head, but did not drain out the blood of the body, still it's possible. Dam haguf v'le mitzah dam haroish, but if he squeezed out, drained out the blood from the body, but did not drain out the blood from the head, sheira discussion. And the reason for this difference is, because first came squeezing out the blood of the body, and then came squeezing out the blood of the head. And we gave the rule before that any change that took place after you squeezed out the blood of the body, it is kosher. So since you squeezed out the blood of the body, even if you didn't squeeze out later the blood of the head, it's kosher. But concerning the opposite, if you did the head, but you didn't drain out the blood from the body, it's possible, because as we said before, only any change after that is kosher. But the change in that itself is possible. Then the Mishnah continues, Chatas oif shemolka shaloi lishmo. If it was a chatas oif, that you did the malikya shaloi lishmo, not with the proper intention, not intending that it should be for a chatas. Or mitzah domo shaloi lishmo, or not the malikya was done shaloi lishmo, but when you drained the blood out, it was done shaloi lishmo. Or even if it is done lishmo vishaloi lishmo. So it's done both. So it's done lishmo for the right sake, and also for shaloi lishmo. Oy shaloi lishmo lishmo, or it was done shaloi lishmo and also lishmo. Possible, it is possible. Because as long as there was a shaloi lishmo there, it is possible. But this is only by a chatasoi. Oy lasa oy ksheira. By an oy lava noif, it's kosher. Or bilvad, but only shaloi also the bailim lishem chayva. That the owner who brought this korban did not fulfill his obligation. And this is generally the difference between an oil and a chatas. The din by an oil is that even if it was brought shaloi lishmo, it is kosher. But the owner who brought it did not fulfill his obligation, and therefore if he's obligated to bring a korban, he would have to bring another one. By a chatas, the din is that shaloi lishmo is possible. And that's why by the chatas soy, as long as there was some shaloi lishmo involved here, it is possible. But by the oil soy, it is kosher. And he continues, Echad chatasoyf, Echad oilasoyf, whether it's a chatasoyf or a oilasoyf, Shemolkon, and he did the malikah, the Shemitza is domom, or he drained out his blood. Lech oil to eat, Dover shedarki lechel, something which is to be eaten, which is by a chatas. ulahakti dover shadarkel hakti, or to be maktir on the mizbeach, something which is to be maktir, and that is an oilo. So if he had in mind, when he did the malikis, or he did the draining of the blood, he had in mind to eat what should be eaten, or to be maktir what should be maktir, but it was chutzlum kaimoy, to do it in the wrong place, outside of its proper place, postal to that korban is postal. But the aim by korban, but you don't get korban. The din is, as we learned earlier, that if you have in mind to eat it, shaloibim kaimoy not in its proper place, or to be maktir it not in its proper place, that is postal and not pigul. If you have in mind to do it not in its proper time, then it's also pigul, and then there's the din of korban. And that's what he says here, that if you had in mind the maliki, by the maliki, or you had in mind by the draining of the blood, that you would eat the chatos, or you would be maktir the oila, not in its right time, so then the korban is possible, but there is no korban. But if you had in mind to do it chutzlis manoi, outside of its time, then it is pigul, the chayovin olav korban, you are chayov korban. But when is it pigul? Obilvad is long, sheyakriv hamatir kimitzvosei. That the thing that's matir, the korban, was done properly. Which means if there was nothing else wrong with it but this kavana of figel, so then it is a din of figel. But if there was another thing wrong with it, that the mati, the thing that is mati, the korban, that turns it into korban, was not done properly besides this kavana of figel, then it is not figel as we learned earlier. And the Gemishna explains, Ketzad korban mati kimitzvosei, what would be an example? That we say that the mati was done properly, and therefore if you had a kavana of chutzlis manei, it would be figel. For example, Molag Bishtike, he did the Malikia quietly, which means he didn't have any Kavone by the Malikia, which means he didn't have any bad Kavone. So the Malikia was done Kedin. Umitza Hadam Chutzlis Manoi, but when he drained the blood, he had in mind to later on eat it or to be Makriv it on the Mizbeach, outside of its time. So here there was no other Psul but his Kavone of Pigul at the time of the draining of the blood. Oi, or Shemolag Chutzlis Manoi. When he did the Malikia, he had a mind to eat it later or to be makriv it later outside of its time, which is a kavana of figel. Umitza adam bishtik, but when he drained the blood, he did it quietly, meaning without any kavanas. So there was nothing else wrong here with this korban, but that the Malikia was in the kavana of figel. Or shemolak umitza adam chutzlis manoi. Or he had a kavana of figel, of doing, eating it or being makriv on the mizbeach outside of its place during the time of the Malikia and the draining of the blood. So both of them were the kavon of chutzlis manoi. Zehu, all these examples would be an example of korban matir kimitzvosei. And the matir was done in its proper way, which means there is nothing else that spoils the korban here, but this kavon of figel, then it is figel and you are chayav korban for it. Ketzad loy korban matir kimitzvosei, what would be an example? That the matir was not done properly, and therefore, even though you had a kavon of figel, it is not figel. For instance, molak chutzlim koimoi. When he did the maliki, he had in mind to eat the korban or to be makted the korban outside of its place. So here, the maliki was done not properly, but not with a kavana of figel, with a kavana of psul. And then, mitzah adam chutzlis manoi, then when he drained the blood, he had in mind later to be makted it or to eat it outside of its place. So here, in addition to the kavana of figel, which is chutzlis manoi, he also had another psul at the time of the maliki. Oy shemola chutzlis manoi, or when he did the maliki, he had a kavana of chutzlis manoi. But when he drained the blood, he had a kavana of chutzum koime, which is not figel. So in addition to the kavana of figel, he also had, by the other avoide, a kavana which is possible. Or, if he did the maliki and the draining of the blood, both with a kavana of chutzum koime. Not chutzum mane, but chutzum koime. So all these are not figel. In the last one, there was no pigul at all, because he didn't have a kavana chutzlis manoi. And even in the other two, where he did have a kavana chutzlis manoi, but since in the other avoide, he had a kavana chutzlim koimoi, so automatically, this is not that the matir was done kemitzvosoi, and therefore it is not pigul. And the Mishnah continues giving more examples where it would not be pigul, even though he had a kavana chutzlis manoi. For instance, chata sa'oiv shemolko shaloi lishmo. A chata sa'oiv, where he did the malike shaloi lishmo, not with a kavana of chutzlim koimoi, but a kavana of shaloi lishmo. But this is only by chatos oi, because we said before, by a chatos oi, then shaloi lishmo also makes it possible. If the same thing would happen by an oilas oi, since shaloi lishmo doesn't make it possible, so then it would be considered that the mate was done kimitzvosei, because there was no kavana of psul other than the pigul. But by a chatos oi, since shaloi lishmo makes it possible, so if he did the malike with a kavana of shaloi lishmo, Well, mitzvah hadam chutzlus manoi, but when you drain the blood, he had in mind chutzlus manoi, which is figul. Oy shemola chutzlus manoi mitzvah dam dama shloi lishmo, or the maliki was done with the kavon of chutzlus manoi, and the draining of the blood was done with the kavon of shloi lishmo. Oy shemola ko mitzvah hadam shloi lishmo, or he did the maliki and the draining of the blood both with the kavon of shloi lishmo, and there was no kavon of shloi chutzlus manoi at all. Zehu loy korav hamatik mitzvotei. This is a case where the mati was not done kimitzvotei, which means there's another psul here other than the psul of figul. So then the din is that it is not figul. Only if there was no other psul in the korban but the kavanah figul, then it's figul in your chayes korban. But if it was another kavanah which makes it possible, or he didn't have the kavanah of chutzlus manoi at all, then it is not figul. Then the Mishnah continues, if he had a kavanah lecho kazayis b'chutz, one kazayis to eat outside, which means outside of his place, kazayis lemochor, and another kazayis had in mind to eat tomorrow, which means the day when you're not allowed, which is chutzlus manoi. Which this is a case that first came the kavanah of chutzlum kaimu, again then came the kavanah of chutzlus manoi. Or if it was the opposite, first he had in mind kazayis lemochor, see the kazayis tomorrow, which is chutzlus manoi, and also then he had in mind kazayis b'chutz, the kazayis outside of his place, which is chutzlum kaimu. Or he had in mind kichotis zayis b'chutz, kichotis zayis lemochor, and half a kazayis he had in mind he's going to eat outside of its place. And half the kazayis will be outside of its time. Or kechot is ayis lemoch, or kechot is ayis b'chutz, or first he had a mind, he had a half a kazayis tomorrow outside of its time. And a half a kazayis outside of its place, in all these cases, posel is posel, but the aim by kodas, there is no kodas. And the reason is, because in addition to the kavanah of chutzlis manoi, which makes it tigel, there was another kavanah of chutzlum koimoi, which takes it away from being tigel. Omer the Gudeh Batiruddha said, Zeha klal, this is the rule. He holds that if the machshave, the intentions of the wrong time, came before the intentions of the wrong place, it is still pigul. Because when he had the intentions of the wrong time, he didn't have the other psul yet. So even though later on he had in mind, he did it out of its place, which is another psul, but since it started with machshave sazman, it is pigul, the chayoven of korot yal chayat kot. But the machshave samokim kodmon the machshave sazman. But if the machshava of the wrong place came before the machshava of the wrong time, then it is possible in the kodesh. It is possible there is no kodesh. Because when he had the machshava of chutzlus manoi, which is figul, it already came after the machshava of chutzlum koimu, which made it possible already. But since it's already possible and not figul, so later it can become figul. But if it first became figul, then later the fact that he had another psul can take it away from being figul. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say zeh v'zeh posel v'im b'koras. In both cases, it is posel and there is no koras. As long as there was another psul here, even if it came later, the din is that it is not tigul. It is only posel and there is no koras. And then the Mishnah continues lechol kichot zayis ulahatik kichot zayis. If he had in mind to eat a hatik zayis in the wrong time, and to be makriv a hatik zayis in the wrong time, so together he had bad intentions concerning a whole kazayis. But half a kazayis was one type of bad intentions, and the other half a kazayis another type. One was for eating the wrong time, and one was for the haktor on the wrong time. Kosher it is kosher. She'ein achil of haktor mitzvartim, because eating and being not maksir and not mitzvartim, so each one is separate, so therefore we look at each one as a separate thing. So there was a separate intention for haktor, but since it was a half a kazayis, it doesn't make it possible. We look at his intention concerning eating, which was also only concerning a half kazayis, and that doesn't make it possible. So therefore, this korban remains kosher.